Hey, this is Frank Todaro,
otherwise known as Starscream.
And you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron. And joining me on this adventure into the Transformers fandom is...
I am the Chaos Bringer.
You sound like, what's that, singer? It was like...
I don't know. What's that singer?
Know, there's a song where where he goes... It's a rock song. I don't know.
It's probably Kid Rock.
No, it's late 90s, early 2000s. Oh. It was like,
I think I remember.
It's kind of like, a little bit of that kind of country rock, but it's not Kid Rock. It's something else. Like, yeah, I don't know. They played it in Super Troopers.
Oh, we'll talk about that later, yeah. But yeah, it's fine. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. And I am here.
And he is waiting.
No, not anymore. So, when I initially got my Transformers the Movie 35th Anniversary Edition, mm-hmm. It was the Steelbook 4K Blu-ray set that came with the poster. Mm-hmm. I kept the poster at the time, and I still have the poster. And I sold the Blu-ray, because I didn't have a Blu-ray player at the time, to my buddy Jason Duvall from Toy World Order. I, just out of sheer curiosity, was curious if the poster for the... because they have two posters. They have one where it's just Rodimus doing his Matrix thing, and then they have one of everybody from the Matt Ferguson DVD cover. So I knew that the poster for the other one was art, but I already had that. So I went on the Shout Factory's website, and I'm like, I now actually have a Blu-ray player. I would like to have this back. Oh, and yay, I get to get the other poster too. So now I have two Transformers the Movie posters from Shout Factory. Absolutely amazing. I have the 4K Ultra HD Plus Blu-ray, so I can watch the movie on Blu-ray finally.
Nice.
And this also ties into the things that I've had since, I want to say, 2009, 2010. I don't remember. It might be longer than that. But I have been lugging around with me like four different framed, I believe it's either 27 by 30, whatever the standard movie poster, like 24 by 30. I forget what the hell it is. Anyway, there's these giant movie posters. So I have four of them, and I do. Two of them are from actual 2007 movie. I don't really care for those posters all that much. The other two, though, one of them is one of the original TFTM theatrical posters. The other one is a poster from the show. So I essentially have now, even though the Shout Factory posters are 18 by 24 and the other ones are larger, I essentially can now make my entire apartment Transformers movie posters, or Transformers posters in general. So,
nice.
That happened. And then GameStop decided to release that, hence why my intro. I spent $40 on a 10.5-inch Funko Pop of Unicron, and the only reason why I'm even saying this is because... I think I've mentioned this before on the show. The way the license that Funko has from Hasbro to do retro toys is they can do any Funko Pop of the toy design of the character. So the only animation designs, I think, are the Optimus and Megatron with the Energy Axe and Energy Mace. But really, they still look like that's the only difference. Instead of having their guns, they have their weapons from that episode, from that part of More Than Meets the Eye. But the rest of it still looks like the 84 Optimus and Megatron. So Unicron here is based off of the HasLab Unicron. Why spend $600 for something that you have to figure out where you're going to put it when I can spend $40 on something and only need to have it be 10 and a half inches tall?
Not a bad trade-off. I have no ambition to get that giant Unicron.
I want to hear from people. I really want to hear from people.
Like, where do you put it?
Anyone that backed the HasLab Unicron, the actual, like, where do you display it in robot mode? Do you display it in planet mode? Do you only have it in one mode, or are you constantly transforming it and putting it around your house? Seriously, email us feedback@geekcastradio.com. And let us know, because we need to know where you put that $600 piece of plastic.
Or more.
Oh, God. The aftermarket prices on that thing?
It's like $1,500.
I've seen some people say $2,000, but yeah. Essentially, yeah. And I haven't even opened the box yet, but this is the biggest Funko box that they have ever done, I believe. And the funny thing is that the 10.5-inch Unicron is a half inch more than my... I don't buy a lot of the bigger Funko Pops. I don't buy the Jumbos. I really don't. I have two. Out of the almost 200 Funko Pops I have two of the Jumbos. I have Unicron, and I have Soundwave. Soundwave is a 10-inch Funko Pop, because his tape deck opens, you can put the cassettes in there, yada yada. Unicron is a half inch bigger. Why? Why did he have to be 10.5 inches? I don't know. I don't care. I like having the stuff. It's fine, whatever. But oh my God. What have you gotten recently?
What haven't I gotten?
Good thing your wife doesn't listen to this show.
Mm-hmm. So, Transmetal Megatron Masterpiece.
Yes.
He is still smaller than the Dragon Masterpiece that I once had.
Wow.
But he's smaller. And he doesn't take up as much real estate because the wings, like, honestly, the other one, there was nothing wrong with it except for the fact that the wings couldn't fit in the cabinet and created the issue. It wasn't the figure itself. I would almost argue this one's pretty close in size, but it's pretty spectacular. And it comes, I have not transformed it yet just because I've enjoyed looking at it in robot mode because it's so perfect. Like I had the original figure. And it was all, I glued it together like no other because the thing was, it shattered when I tried to repair it. I got it for like $10. And I was aware it was broken. I repainted it and painted over the glue, gave it to my son after I got this one. But the fingers are articulated, the arms, the shoulders, the face, like you can pop off the face and change it out. Like the beast mode stays the same, but the robot mode, you have three different faces. You have the yes, you have the grimace that's angry. And then you have one with like the kind of scowl.
Mm-hmm.
And you can change out the fingers on it to the ones that shoot Silverbolt in Coming of Fusors Part 1.
Mm-hmm.
And the vertical takeoff and landing aspects that he uses in beast mode and in robot actually rotate so that you can do that move.
Nice. Very cool.
Because it's on a ball joint instead of a hinge like it used to be. And I've seen some issues with this. Mine doesn't have it too much. Some of the feet in the packaging got rubbed off. Some of the paint.
Mm.
Some worse than others. Mine was just a slight scuff, and it's because it's rubbing on the plastic and the, you know, shipping. So it's kind of unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have mistransformed him partially and snapped parts of it just because they didn't do it in the proper order. He has an energy blast that comes like a blast effect, but it's got a magnet in it. And so when you use that magnet on his head, it lights up.
Oh, wow.
Which I was able to take the epic picture that I sent you the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I just took it from inside the cabinet. I didn't move them. I didn't take them out. I just turned on the lights. And I didn't turn on flash. And I took the shot. And it looked almost, if you wouldn't have seen the cabinet, it looked like it came from the show.
Wow. I was going to say, how'd you get his eyes to light up?
Yeah, it actually lights up.
Oh, okay.
There's an LED in there. However, when I got it, it was dead on arrival, the battery.
Yeah, you've seen. Okay.
So I had to figure out how to get it out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because they stick. So what they do to make sure that it doesn't slide around in there, because they keep it purposefully loose-ish. Like it's tight, but it's loose so that you can get it out. They put like a little piece of like almost silly putty on the back of the LED light portable piece to hold it in place in the head so it doesn't move around. And then you use this magnet on the top of the head and it lights it up. And then if you do it a second time, it blinks, like his eyes flash.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
And it does the same in beast mode. It's a different battery compartment, so I'm assuming that one's going to be dead too when I transform it. But I have like a 5-pack of batteries. I'll be able to fix it. I'm thinking it's the same battery that's with Optimal, because my Optimal never lit up.
Mm.
And his blaster, like his chest piece, is supposed to light up. His head doesn't light up.
Right.
But the chest piece does, and so I think that's dead too. Same issue, but it's a relatively easy fix. Cheap. But having the Golden Disc Pterosaur, I put the Golden Disc in his hand. So he's holding onto it.
Very cool.
And it just looks epic. There's a couple of gripes with it that people have had, and I've noticed it too. There's a little bit of a discoloration on the head. Like it's all a solid, like the helmet is a solid color.
Yeah.
And there's variants in like around the eyes where there's like this gunmetal, like graphite metallic.
Yeah.
That's kind of there. And then like the eyes, it's missing the iris in the middle. And there's the other gripe is that he has two tails.
Ugh.
One for robot, one for beast. And the one for robot is smaller, and it's got a hinge system that you fold his hand,
mm-hmm,
kind of in on itself so that it can. So like his wrist is kind of folded horizontally instead of even with the rest of his hand. So it fits in the piece and it clicks into his wrist and holds on. And it's the tail is very much like the original in all intents and purposes. But the bigger tail only connects in beast mode.
Yeah. And look, I am. So everyone always talks about how fragile the original toys are,
especially that one.
I mean, it's been what, 22 years or 21 years now, whatever it is. Like, seriously, I don't see why that would be a gripe. They're giving you a tail for robot mode, hence why it's smaller, to act as the gun that he used to use, you know. And then they're giving you the bigger tail for when you do want to put him in beast mode, so the bigger tail doesn't end up getting screwed up.
Well, and some people are arguing it's like parts forming. The funny thing about it is if it's still parts forming, because you have to attach it to that little clip that sits on his waist.
Yeah.
And whereas like even in the program, in the show, it does the same thing. Like it's still parts forming no matter what way you go about it, because unless he holds onto it with his wrist,
mm-hmm,
there's no way around it. Some people have created a 3D print replacement grip piece for the bigger piece.
Yeah.
So that you can just use that one 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And not need the other tail. But what I like about the bigger tail is I can store the additional faces in it. There's literally a slot in there, even when it's like transformed. There's a spot where the additional faces plug in inside the tail, the base of it, and because it goes in deep enough. And then there's a spot for the extra fingers for his dinosaur beast mode hands.
That's cool.
Where you swap them out so that they're, you know, the straight, so that he can blast effect shoot out of them. And the other version is like the ones that twitch, because those are on a ball joint too. So I mean, you can lock him in the other tail. So that's what I've got him doing currently, just because he's in robot and I have no intention on modifying it at all yet.
Yeah.
And then so that's kind of my grail, I would say, of my Beast Wars figures, of any Transformer or toy figure, because that was obviously my favorite. And so, I mean, I have Primal and Transmetal Primal and Optimal. And what's funny is this Megatron is taller than Optimal by an entire inch. And so it's kind of sad as far as the scaling. A lot of people were mad about Optimal scaling. I don't really care. I hope that the Dragon is in scale with Optimal and not with the show, because if it's with the show, he's like 13 inches tall.
Yeah.
Instead of like the one I did have.
Yeah.
There is also Cheetor.
Mm.
I have Masterpiece knockoff.
Cool.
And it's very nice. The spots are a little grainy because you can tell they're kind of computer generated imprints.
Yeah.
It's more blurred, which looks fine from a distance unless you're like right up to it eye to eye. Like, you're not going to notice. And it comes with three faces and three beast mode heads that you can change out.
Oh, very cool.
He's got his tail gun. He's got his gut gun. They fold up nicely. He transforms really well. He's got the shoulder communicator for robot and beast that he used in the episode. I forget what it's called. It's the one with the Energon Storm.
Oh, yeah.
It's the one where he transported.
Yeah, other visits or nope. Other voices. It's one of those.
No, it's not that. It's before the web.
Really?
Yeah, it's after Beast Wars Part 2. It might even be after the web, but it's...
It wouldn't have to be after the web, because the web was Season 1, Episode 3.
Yeah, this is like Episode 4. It's before the probe.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where he transports over the Energon beacons.
Yes.
The relay station. So anyways, he's got that. It was super easy to get into robot mode.
Cool.
Because I did it without the instructions. Now beast mode, I may need them. But it does have a faux head for the chest. Like, the real beast head folds in underneath the fake chest.
Equal measures while placing communication. Yes. Yep. Relay. Yep. Yep. Okay, yeah.
Yep, that one. And so anyways, it scales well. It looks nice. He's a tad bit taller than Kingdom, Dinobot, and Tigatron, but not by much. So scale-wise, he's off, but I gave my son my 10th anniversary version.
Right.
Because he's like, I like the cats and Beast Wars. And I was like, all right, he's yours.
There you go.
so yeah, that's what I've got. But mostly just waiting on some of the Wave 2, 3, and 4 of Legacy.
Yes, and we will be talking about that right after this.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman, and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
And now, the news. Do not touch that dial.
Well, you heard the bot, folks. It's time to talk about the news. And first up, we've got in-hand images of Legacy Leader Class Transmetal 2 Megatron.
Yep.
I still hate the face.
Well, you know what the... I figured this out pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at it, because obviously... I'm a Beast Wars Megatron aficionado.
Yes.
So, looking at the face, it's Gigatron.
Yep.
From Robots in Disguise 2001 or Car Robots.
Yep.
it's the same face. Like, literally underneath that helmet, the sides of the helmet and the face are from that Megatron.
Yeah.
And it's been a pretty good gripe. I mean, so some of what the designer said is the mouth actually was supposed to have regular teeth doing the grimace of the original toy.
Okay.
But what happened is the factory screwed it up.
Okay.
And they attempted to fix it, and that's why he's got the sharp, pointy teeth.
Okay.
The other thing is the little mandible things that are kind of on the top and the bottom of his helmet, like, or the middle around his cheekbone and the chin, the little mandible things, that was on the original Megatron, Transmetal and Transmetal 2. The yellowy gold part that's between those mandibles, that matches the Car Robot's Gigatron as well as the original Beast Wars Transmetal 2 Megatron toy.
Okay.
And so they kind of mixed a little bit of the show with a little bit of the action, original action figure to create this figure. I'm still a little puzzled why the face is silver and not gray. Like, because it's like kind of an off gray. Like, they take the black, the blackish purple look that he had as a Transmetal and knocked it to like a subdued grayish purple, more gray.
But wait, wasn't his face maroon when he turned dragon?
No. Nope.
Or was it? Okay, it's been a while. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and watch that episode again, but that's fine. That's neither here nor there. If I was into, like, still getting the full figures and transforming and whatever, the only reason why I would get this figure is the second-to-last image, which is image 8, according to this article on here on TFW2005.com. It is the image where he is standing over Primal with the fire effect coming out of his... I love that. That's the only... If I was to have this toy, that's the only way I would display him, is in fire-breathing dragon mode.
Yeah, I... So... You've made your piece about the figure.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, you know, kind of looking at the original toy, looking at the show, if you're wanting a spectacular show quality Transmetal 2 Megatron, the winged dragon third-party figure is probably the best you'll ever get. Just hands down. And yes, I did have it at one point. But the sucker was huge. If the scaling was down by like 2 to 3 inches, like basically in matched with the Optimal Optimus trans art figure.
Right.
I would have kept it. But it's so stinking big that.
Again, I think they were going for the show accuracy of it all, because if you know this, you're.
What, the third party figure?
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, they were going for the more of the show accuracy, the scale and everything else. When I, you know, so this figure is a double-edged sword for me. One, I don't have a Dragon Megatron. Two, he's very affordable in his current state. Three, it doesn't look terrible. There's some paint apps that I disagree with, some decisions in the transformation, and some, mostly it's the face for me. Like the robot mode face drives me bonkers.
Yeah.
What I will say is the robot mode does look pretty stinking close to the animation model.
Yeah.
As far as design, as far as colors, it does not. And the CG model that they showed originally for this on the Instagram page of Sam Smith looks much better than the toy. I'll give it that. Like, the shading is better. Even the robot mode face doesn't look as jarring, just because the teeth.
Yeah.
What I noticed is the, just from those photos alone of the, like, the test photos that they used for the reveal look way worse than the ones that Sam Smith posted with the Optimal Optimus figure.
Wow.
So for instance, the images that they showed, the red is more of a metallic red, high gloss, like dark, deep red. and it looks spectacular on the figure. And then the wings have more of a translucent yellow instead of or gold instead of the kind of yellowy plastic that they are in the revealed photo. So, I mean, I think if they would have just darkened the red.
Yeah.
I think it would have made it pop a lot more than it does. The other thing is like the little knee poker things or the toes or the beast mode hands they have, like the beast mode hands are just terrible.
Yeah.
Like I love how it locks in robot mode.
Yep.
They're not, they just look stupid in beast mode. Like he's got three fingers, like,
yeah,
but it's more of a thumb and two fingers. Like,
yeah,
even on the original toy, it was designed better. The other thing is the beast mode, the way that the arm connects to the torso.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of little gripes with that. Now, it was the original figure perfect? No, but I did feel the original transformation was a lot cleaner and elegant when it transformed. Whereas this arm, like a lot of what people are complaining about is it's very narrow. It's very, there's no bulk to it. So it right. looks kind of like scraggly instead of a, you know, kind of mean and menacing in beast mode. The other thing is where the shoulder is on that arm where it connects, it should be touching the torso and it's not. Like the first nub of the neck kind of transformation on it is showing.
Yep.
And the shoulder is up like a notch instead of down touching it, like flush with it. And I've seen a lot of gripes about that. I've seen a lot of gripes that when it's transformed in beast mode, there's this opening around the beast mode arms that like you can clearly see like a big opening. It's like a box. Like they didn't print an extra piece of plastic to cover that hole.
Right.
And so I've seen a lot of gripes about that too. So my general consensus is that there's going to be a third party company, which that's kind of typical with anything Hasbro comes out with now.
True.
Is there Hasbro seems to be fine as long as they're doing third party stuff that's adding on to their toy. They don't care if they, you know, because they're not knocking it off. They're just making it better.
Right.
But they're counting on these companies to do it for them because they're like, it's good enough. And so part of, I love the articulation. I love the capabilities of this. I love the height of it because it does scale well with their Power of the Primes optimal. It's still like two heads shorter than their optimal that they came out with years ago. But it does scale pretty decently well with it. That it's realistic to the animation where he's battling him in the Nemesis. I love the blast effect. I love the better pictures that Sam Smith was able to post with the optimal next to his swimming pool, where he's got Megatron fighting in the backyard.
And, yeah, that's hilarious.
All the explosions. I still think that he's a little gangly in beast mode, but it's not terrible. It could have been a lot worse. The robot mode is still really good, other than the head for me. So obviously when they come out with a third party company, as soon as one of them gets their hands on this figure, they're going to be all over the place. Like probably DNA's designs probably end up modifying this. My guess is there will be a third party face replacement to match the animation model.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be key number one that I'm going to assume. Key number two, there might be wing replacements to look more in line with the show.
Yeah.
Is what I'm guessing. And then kind of key number three is I'm thinking there might be some things to bulk up, like maybe even a dragon head replacement or something, or arm replacement or something to bulk up or fill in the gaps on the chest in beast mode. So I'm thinking there might be some add-ons like that actually stay on the figure that you'll be able to use. And so I'm waiting to see what comes out of that. The other thing is I'm going to repaint this sucker. Like just in all honesty, seeing the production part of it, because they said that it's higher scale than even their Titan class or their Masterpiece figures, that they scaled this down from, which is kind of disappointing that it's lacking on some of the colors and some of the in the face is kind of like they intentionally did what they did with the face. And so like for me, the toes and the little nail things on his knees below the purple part, they're supposed to be black. Like there's no gold on that.
God. Yeah.
From the show, the tips of the wings at the very top are supposed to be gold. The wings are supposed to be gold. The beast hands that are on his chest are supposed to be gold, but the only way to do that in a different way is to not, you're going to have like gold hands in beast mode. As well, cause there's no way around it. And then like the red on it, I felt like should have been a lot deeper.
Yeah. It's like,
it's too, and don't get me wrong. It's looking at the toy production shots, not the CG model. Mm-hmm. It is the same exact color as the original figure.
Yeah.
Because I had that and I realized that, but I guess for what it is, I would expect, I don't know, just richer colorations, I guess. Like, I mean, they did great on the gold coloring on the toes and the beast fingers and on the part around his cowl.
Yeah.
They really did. Like the gold looks, it's obviously gold paint. It's not shiny and reflective like Transformers
stuff,
but it is reminiscent and it is, you know, they did do it right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not knocking that. I do like the figure. I think it's really awesome and it will go nicely with the Transart Optimus because he's going to be bigger than the Kingdom Megatron, but not by much. And so I think he'll scale pretty nicely still with the Transart Optimal Optimus Masterpiece. It's just, I think I'm going to have to take it apart and use some kind of like a metallic spray paint to get it proper.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you can do that now. You've been doing that for a while now with your customizations. All right, folks, as for the rest of the reveals, other than Beast Wars Megatron Dragon, we had, are these the same images or are these new images of Inferno? Because I've seen Inferno now every episode we've talked, like.
I think they finally have newer
okay.
images. These are more of the final production shots of him.
Oh, okay, good.
I feel like you've seen him, but.
Yeah.
Not to this extent, but they did reveal that he does have all four propellers for his rocket part on his rear, which people were a little concerned with because the original reveal, they didn't show.
Only showed three.
It only shows three, and because his legs actually fold up into it in beast mode, which is partly why that you don't see it, but it also folds up differently a little bit. And that's why his rocket part is on his back in beast mode rather than in the back. However, it does attach for his propeller rocket launch so that he can have it in robot mode and fly. However, it is the same as his weapon. So what I'm assuming is going to happen is that, again, another third party, just like they've done with like Terrorstar with his guns or his shoulder cannons, there'll be a proper Inferno flamethrower.
Right, yeah.
For robot mode. And then this can actually stay in his butt propeller. And the colorations on this are great. The head sculpting is perfect, like Masterpiece quality. Yes, some of the ant mode are more realistic to a real ant than some would like, but I'm fine with it because the robot mode looks epic and looks just like the show.
Yep.
Or good enough to be. So it's what I tell my kids. I tell them that these modern toys that are coming out that look very close to the show model, I tell them that they're the poor man's Masterpiece.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's what they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
it's funny because until they showed that fourth propeller and what is capable on this, and I guess they changed a lot of the production shots, show Inferno's ant eyes being black on the chest, and they changed it to the blue, that dark bluish hue that was on the original, as well as the show. So it's not like kind of dead black eyes that are on it.
Yeah. Heaven forbid we get a Funko Pop Inferno. Actually, you know what? I'd kind of dig that. Anyway,
yeah. It'd be kind of cool. But yeah, so I mean, I'm super excited for that one, as well as many of the others that have kind of shown up. I mean, I love the core class Ratchet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very good figure for a $10 figure. I really, really like the Ironhide.
So much show accuracy. Finally, thank God.
Well, it's funny, too, because somebody was complaining online. They're like, he doesn't have the yellow stripe. And it's like, okay, yeah. And so, like, somebody was like, yeah. They're like, he didn't have it in the movie. And I says, yeah, he did. I took a screenshot. Yeah. I said, but ultimately, that'll be a Toy Hacks.
Yeah. I mean,
it's,
look.
Some of the details, like, I can overlook some details. Like, if it's, like, an aesthetic, like it's a sticker or it's a specific color that's missing, yeah, I'm going to more than likely repaint or use a Toy Hacks. But
yeah.
It's when you botch the entire face that it makes it hard.
True, very true.
But yeah, I mean, for the most part, like, I mean, this Ironhide, like people that have the Earthrise one and the other ones, they're like, oh, I'm so trading this in for this one.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
They're like, I'm dumping that for this one. Yeah. No problem. And then people are really loving the Armada Starscream.
Yeah. That Armada Starscream is looking pretty fancy.
He does.
The three that we're probably not going to spend a heck of a lot of time on is Crosshairs, The Fallen, and Hot Rod. Now, these are all from the movie, from the live-action movie.
Yep.
I have seen Proto Man's Transformers Slag podcast video talking about The Fallen, and he said on there that this is probably the last The Fallen figure we will ever get, because they have only, I believe he said it, that they only ever released one at the time when that movie was out. And this looks good. It looks all right. Hot Rod, I prefer the car over the actual robot mode. Crosshairs, I have no opinion because I just don't care.
Enter the Dragon!
By the Matrix!
So yeah, we've already talked at length about Dragon Megatron.
But beware, the Dragon's wrath!
There's Skullgrin, there's a few other people, and then there is Rumble, parentheses, blue.
Which means we're going to get a purple or a red.
Well, I mean, he kind of is purple. I mean, they designate him as blue, but if you look at that image, he essentially, for the most part, on his chest, looks just like the cartoon. And I always go with Rumble is purple, Frenzy is black. That is just me. Which is going to roll us into the next story where Evan Green... I'm sorry. No. Edit. Where Evan Brooks, I don't know where the hell I got green from, but Evan Brooks has taken to his Instagram. This was after the stream, I believe. Yeah, this was the 17th. He says, "Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us as we revealed a bunch of the upcoming Transformers stuff. I saw some questions popping in various places, and I'm going to do what I can to answer. I'm going to start with SS Core Rumble Blue, the infinite Transformer debate on what color this character is supposed to be. Ha ha ha. Since this is Studio Series, we followed the colors he had in the 86 movie. So he was purple. This will be quicker post and blah, blah, blah." So, yeah, and it shows some pictures that he had posted on his Instagram of what Rumble Blue is going to look like next to Frenzy Black. And they look damn good together.
Really?
So they look damn good together, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that is Rumble Blue. Next up for me is from 3-0 MDLX. Megatron.
No one does that to me and continues to function.
Full upcoming images of MDLX Megatron figure. Optimus will come in at 7 inches tall and have 45 points of articulation and feature diecast combined with Okay, so trying to see here if there's something specific about Megatron. Supreme Leader of the Decepticons, new series of figures. Yeah, so I'm looking at this, and while I like this, I think his face is too cheery.
Well, the head sculpt is kind of weird.
Yeah.
I do like the rest of it, though.
Yeah.
Because it's just kind of a more of a rounded, more, I don't know, it kind of gives it that movie style look of what he might have looked like.
Yeah.
I really do like the design and the concept.
Yeah.
I just don't like the head.
Yeah. I think the best image we have on the head is that first image where it's got the Transformers MDLX Megatron text and it's got him with his hand out. His hand doing, like, I think that's the best look on the face.
Mm-hmm.
I love the poses. I do love these figures. I think they are really, really cool. So, yay, 3-0.
I wonder how much that is.
I will let you know at the end of the show, probably. Next up, we're going to move away from the toys. We're going to get into the comics, because right before the Hasbro stream on the 16th, on the 14th, Hasbro spoke out about the future of Transformers and G.I. Joe comic book license. Breaking the silence, Hasbro VP of Global Publishing, Michael Kelly, spoke to Nerd Reactor, whoever they are, don't know, I'm not clicking on that link, not yet anyway. On the new license for G.I. Joe and Transformers comic books, this is what he confirmed, is that IDW will indeed lose the rights by the end of the year this year in 2022. However, he declined to divulge the name of the new license holder. Actually, we're in a bit of transition at the moment, is what he is saying here, as you might have heard. So, we've been with IDW on the comic book front with Transformers and G.I. Joe that's going to be ending at the end of this year. We're not ready yet to announce who our partner is, but we've already begun some creative discussions. Both brands will step into a new direction after the transition. Regarding creative decision-making from Hasbro's side, he says, "In some regards, we will do adaptations of TV or movies, obviously. But a lot of what we're doing is actually original storytelling," he explained. "As far as toys are concerned, we at times will try to incorporate some of the artistic designs of toys, but it is important to us that the integrity of the storytelling always be what's driving the narrative. So we will never just going to say, oh, well, you know, Hasbro is releasing a new toy, so we'll put it in this comic, like an advertisement. We don't do that," he said. Mm-hmm. Sure you don't. He also mentions that tie-in comics with the new animated series Transformers Earthspark will also take place. "When it comes to the kids' properties, we tend to try and use the main characters that fans are familiar with. If there's anything that we would do, we would focus more on the heroism or the adventure of it, less on the violence side. So we really want to craft that message so that kids are reading the stories that they're ready for, and that their parents are going to be happy that they are reading as well. What it is about is just making sure that it is accessible. So certainly, you know, Bumblebee would be a character that we would focus on for a younger audience because he's everybody's best friend, and it tends to resonate well with kids. If we do bring in Decepticons like Starscream and Megatron, we might play them a little bit more sort of over the top. Not humorous necessarily, but scary. I'm not a parent, so I can't speak to this, but as someone who grew up reading all kinds of stuff, I like what he says about...
I do too. Yeah. I read Nightfall.
Okay.
As a kid, that was probably poor choice. Terrifying.
Yes, very terrifying.
So, I could have used more over the top, like the Batman the Animated Series comics.
Yep.
Where it was just, you know, they're bad, but and they're scary, but not in a terrible way.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, I can relate to that. I like that concept.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, yeah, so...
And then the go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say I have my wonder of who is getting the license.
I do too.
I have some theories.
I don't want to theorize because I don't necessarily want to be surprised about it, because obviously we're going to find out whenever they make the announcement. But
I'm wondering if Marvel's getting it back.
I don't know. I honestly hope that it's not Marvel.
Me too.
I think the only reason why it would not be Marvel is because Marvel isn't Marvel. Okay, they're Marvel, but they're Disney Marvel now. Like, that's the thing. Like, does Hasbro want to get in bed with Disney when they're getting in bed with Nickelodeon on the... See?
Yeah, that's true, too. I wonder if they would be kind of interesting if they went to DC.
But that's what I've been saying. I have been... Only because of sheer irony. Like, I wouldn't mind if it went to Boom Studios. Boom Studios does a lot of great stuff.
The other thing is it could go to Marvel just because Marvel does the Star Wars comics, but Hasbro makes the Star Wars toys.
True, but again, this is like media. It's media, but you've already announced a new animated series on a rival network to what you got to remember. Marvel, even though they are still, you know, sort of by them, they're not by themselves, but they are a underling of Disney now.
And I don't think it'll go to DC though, the way that Discovery is shuttering everything that Warner Bros. Has. So I don't think that they'll get in bed in that scenario.
And look,
it could very well be Boom, because
there are plenty of others.
Well, Boom does Power Rangers.
Yep.
Nickelodeon owns Power Rangers.
Yep. I think it's going to be Boom.
I think so too.
I only, like I've said, I am only saying the DC thing out of sheer irony and stupidity because Marvel had it years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I do not expect that to go to DC Comics at all.
Well, Star Trek jumped around too. Star Trek started out Marvel.
Yep.
Or not Marvel, DC.
Yep.
Went to Paramount, went to Marvel.
Yep.
Went to another publisher.
It's currently at IDW.
And then they went to IDW.
Yeah. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens and to see who they finally announce their partner to be. So,
I saw Don Figueroa on Twitter posting some rejected or some canceled Beast Wars comic clips.
Oh, wow.
From Dreamwave.
Oh, interesting.
That never made it to the light of day because the company went bankrupt.
Yep.
And he was one of their, you know, their big artists too. And so he had some other issues. Like they were at the cusp of Prime getting ripped a new one, and he was going to have Rodimus take over, you know, in the comic or something. And Prime was going to be in a rejuvenation tank being restored. And
interesting.
Yeah, so I mean, it was kind of interesting the direction they were going. I wish that Dreamwave would have got more time, because I did like the storytelling and I did like the visuals that were presented.
Yeah.
But I was really looking forward to the Beast Wars stuff that they did. But I'm hoping the next whoever gets it does another run in with Beast Wars.
Yeah, absolutely. And lastly tonight for the news, I saved this one because it was on the end of the panel, but wanted to take some extra time because this has never happened before. The Royal Mail Service over there in England and Europe and all that, they are doing Transformers stamps and other things now. And wow, these are amazing. These are so cool. So very, very fun.
And they're based off the old comics.
Yep.
Because I had them.
Yep, they're based off the old comics. And yeah, and it's so very cool that they're doing this. You can get all kinds of various things with these characters. And I love the collector's sticker sheet, because I'm actually on the Royal Mail website looking at these. I'm not on TFW anymore. The collector's sheet is G1 Optimus and Megatron with the classic G1 logo with the stamps in the with the stamp designs in the middle. So very, very cool. Absolutely love that. And I just think it's a fun idea. It's been 40 years in the making kind of thing. Because if you think about it, there have been stamps for everything other than I don't remember the last time Transformers had stamps, if they ever did.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah. So that is what's going on in the news, Megatron. You got anything else you want to bring up? Anything else we missed? Anything else you want to discuss?
Not to my knowledge, other than the fact that Transformers Rise of the Beast Smash Changer Optimus Prime was nominated for the Toy of the Year Award for 2022.
My eyes just rolled so hard in the back of my head it was audible across the room.
Well, let's put it this way. Nobody's ever seen it in public. And TFW, somebody says, because Hasbro thought a simple to make engineered toy that's bulky and gimmicky is a sure win for the Christmas shopping parent segment. These people don't understand Transformers, but they buy Transformers when looking at those Walmart, Target, Toys R Us catalogs that have them and, you know, featured the cover with Toy of the Year word running atop of it. And then says somebody else was like, why the heck did they choose this toy?
Yeah.
And somebody was like, Menasor from Legacy would have been a better choice than this toy if they cared about winning at all. And somebody says nominated by Hasbro, maybe.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And somebody else is like, this thing hasn't even shown up at retail. Why is it already randomly being nominated for Toy of the Year?
That's ridiculous.
It's, yeah, I'm like, it's not even, yeah.
That is just so, so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid, to be honest. I was kind of rolling my eyes and going, why?
Yeah.
But somebody else says, remember last year when Kingdom Tigatron won despite not being widely released, and they said it's because he was simply highly anticipated?
Okay, well, I guess, yeah, sure.
This figure's not highly anticipated. Nobody's clamoring for this thing.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff, and we're going to come back with some listener thing, and we'll close the show out after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on Geekcast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Kid?
Yes, Michael?
Just keep driving.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so tiny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba weep, Grana. Weep,
Ninny Bong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete now.
The Rod Pod.
Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com, at iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
Till all are one.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at TransmissionsPodcast.com.
Folks, we are back here on All Things Transformers, and somebody reached out to me on my Facebook page, on the TFG on Mike Facebook page. Brian Carlson is his name, and when he sent me this message the other day, he said, "Are you going to BotCon?" My first reply was, "BotCon died in 2016. He says, "I'll take that as a no, LOL. And then I said, "Yeah, no, between life and everything else and all that, I have no. So apparently, but I didn't know this apparently yet. Apparently, I wasn't paying attention to this. Apparently, BotCon is happening in Nashville, Tennessee this year.
Is it?
Supposedly. According to Brian.
I don't think it's. Oh, yeah, it is in Nashville, Tennessee.
Next
week.
It's in later. So they waited until TFCon had their event and whatever. So I had told them in the message that between everything going on in my life and between how busy you are, there's probably no way either one of us are going to be there. Finances or not, but just time-wise.
I mean, I wouldn't be just because it's clear across the country and I don't even go visit my own family because of plane tickets. So
yes. Yeah. And he goes on and says he's a huge fan of all things Transformers, and that he lives in Nashville, and then it's obviously, you know, he would have loved to been able to meet up with us. And I said, perhaps another time.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I would have loved to have gone, especially because I've met Welker in person. I would have loved to, you know, meet him again. I would have loved to meet Greg Berger, and I've met Bob Budiansky once.
Yep.
At TFCon. And
yeah,
I would have loved to have met David Kay in person.
Yes.
In person.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, plus I like mingling with Transformers fans. I find Transformers conventions to be like the least weird conventions to go hang out and talk to people.
Yeah, I mean,
I find regular conventions very awkward and kind of like, I don't know, I just get weirded out by people.
Yeah.
In general, whereas I feel like the two Transformers conventions I've gone to have been to one BotCon and one TFCon.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like those were like some of the most down to earth, like easy conventions to go to.
Yeah, it just depends, man. It really does. It depends on how the convention is. It depends on which convention it is. You know, any convention, all conventions. So, Brian, thank you for reaching out. Thank you for sending me the message.
Yes, thank you.
I did ask him if he had any questions or any topic ideas that he would like us to talk about. He did not respond to that part. But, again, Brian, if you do have any ideas for us here on the show, anything you want us to talk about, anything you'd like to ask us, let us know. feedback@geekcastradio.com. And I think you can close the show out, Megatron.
So yeah, hopefully we'll have some reviews and some other content covered in the near future. Obviously this show gets a lot more releases than some of the other ones, just because there's so much for us to actually talk about and enjoy. And I know that I criticized the Transmetal Megatron something hardcore, like the Transmetal 2 Megatron terribly, but it's I'm overly critical for, you know,
your favorite character.
So I have my gripes with like some of the Kingdom figures too, but overall I've enjoyed what they've done with this modern era, because the stuff that we had as kids is not, if you're going for show accuracy, that stuff is not going to work.
Yeah, you know, it's like Optimus Primal always says, okay, there's that too, but that's not what I was going for.
But I've enjoyed this modern era of Transformers figures, and my kids have as well.
Hey, like I said, even though I'm not really collecting the actual action like Funko Pops, even though they only kind of tend to move their head, and that's about it. They're still toys. I love the new Jada Toys Nano Metal figs. Still haven't decided whether I'm opening that or not yet, because the only fear behind opening it is not where am I going to display these, it's how am I going to get these back in the box after the fact. So I still haven't opened my Series 1 Jada Toys. I'm waiting for Series 2 to show up on Walmart's website, so there's that. Megatron, take us out of the show, please.
I've had a change for the better. Yes. Yes.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs,
plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.